The following is a production of DifferentBrains.com.
Hi, and welcome to Spectrumly Speaking. I'm Becca Laurie, and I am your resident ASPE, and also perhaps your favorite chapter in your favorite book. And I'm joined here by...
Dr. Kate Cody. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in working with kids or adults on the spectrum in New York City. How was your week, Becca?
It was a good week. I had a really crazy kind of tail end of the week. Last week, I had a conference to be at, and it was very exciting. I have a lot going on just kind of in general in life right now. So on the weekends, I'm trying really hard to unplug a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for me because most of my friends are in the computer. And so it's hard to really let that go. But I did do some yard work this weekend. So that was good. It was like, can't do the phone, can't do technology. I need my hands for like things. So that was a good time, but it's hot in New York. So it was like super hot day to be out in the yard working. What about you?
It was good. It was so nice this weekend. So one of my favorite things to do on like a Saturday or Sunday morning mm-hmm. is to go get a bagel and go sit in the park in my neighborhood, which is on the East River. Mm-hmm. And then I go for a really nice walk afterwards. And so I started my weekend with that. And that was a really, really nice way to start the weekend. So it was nice to be outside. I also spent some time inside, binge watching House of Cards.
Nice.
So it was all around, I think, a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, I definitely am due for some binge watching, but two of my favorite shows have started again. So Orphan Black just started again, and Dark Matter is now in its next season, and that started again, both of which will keep me inside on the hot days, I think. Well, I'm excited about our guest today. She's joining us all the way from the other side of the planet. She is joining us from Australia. Her name is Barb Cook. And Barb was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome in 2009. She's the founder and editor-in-chief of Spectrum Moments magazine. She's a highly committed autism and Asperger's advocate, keen motorcyclist, and web graphics guru. Barb has made numerous appearances on Australian television and radio, in national newspapers and magazines, was part of a documentary called The Chameleons, Women with Autism, founder and director of Bikers for Autism Australia, and co-founder and director of Australian Autism Asperger's Network. And she is also newly put on the Community Council of ASSET, which is a new organization that we started. And I proudly am sitting on that council with her. Please welcome Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing down there?
It's really early. It is just a bit sort of like sleepy and so like, oh, my goodness, I hope I can function at this time of the morning because I'm not a morning person, especially at this time of morning.
Yeah, and it's something so like 3 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I should look at it saying, it's still nighttime, so it's not
right.
Morning.
Yeah, so just party. Confused. You can party with us.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So thank you so much, Barb, for joining us at this unusual hour for you. As we kind of like to start all of our interviews, can you tell us a little bit how you got involved in the autism community, not just as a person with a diagnosis, but more in the advocacy and kind of the other side of being in the community?
Yeah, of course. How it started was actually from the diagnosis. Back in 2008, I was originally misdiagnosed in 2008 with bipolar disorder and social phobia. And when that diagnosis happened, it didn't sit with me because at that time I'd been researching about autism and especially Asperger's syndrome because of my partner at that time. He was also getting diagnosed and he was diagnosed straight away. Being male, it stands out very obviously, but being female, it didn't, so quite often we're misdiagnosed, and it was from that it sort of like progressed, and I then looked into going, once I got the diagnosis, that was a godsend, but just the information that was out there, especially for women, there was just such a lack of it, and from that it also progressed even more into going, okay, how can I help my fellow women on the spectrum at that time, and yeah, so it's just been a bit of a progression from there.
It was very similar for me. It's sort of you get your own diagnosis and the wake-up call is in your own backyard, and then all of a sudden you realize how big it really is and how much needs to be done. And it just kind of develops from there. I think since we talked a little bit about your diagnosis, and I know that you and I have talked about it some also, there's a pretty big discrepancy in the gender gap, at least for diagnosis. What do you think that is about, and did it affect when you got your diagnosis?
Of course, there is definitely a gender gap, not just in Australia, worldwide as we know. And I don't think Australia is much different to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. When I found it, especially because we can mask and mimic so much, we are quite often hidden. And because there's no specific diagnostic protocols for women, we get diagnosed under the normal category, which basically is for men and boys, which stand out very obviously, whereas we don't. And so that was actually quite detrimental in that sort of respect, and especially for a lot of women.
So from as a psychologist who actually does a lot of adult and as well as female diagnosis, I think, could you talk a little bit about, you know, from your perspective or of your experience and kind of, I guess, also what you've learned since then about kind of what might be missing in the gender discrepancy in terms of how women are represented in the diagnosis?
Sure. What I think is they definitely need to look at making a specific criteria. I know out here in Australia they're creating a guideline. So Autism CRC is actually doing that at the moment, creating a national guideline for Australia specifically. But even under that guideline, it's just general. It's still not, you know, female and male specific. And what I think we need to look at is look a lot deeper into what are the major differences for women, especially like I was saying with the masking and the mimicking that we do and how we fit in quite so well with society. And the social stuff that we tend to fit a little bit more, not necessarily, but what the boys do and what the girls do, there is that big significance difference there socially wise. And also with women, especially girls, we tend to look after each other a little bit more if we're a bit different, you know, at school and that sort of stuff. Whereas the boys, if you're a bit different, they tend to sort of like, oh no, we don't want to know about him. And they get a little bit more ostracized than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of they call it the female protective effect, or at least that's what we talk about, but it doesn't always feel that way. It kind of feels to me like we're sort of, we're hidden, I guess. We're hiding.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I mean, I guess it is. We have to look a little harder, I guess.
Well, from a clinical perspective, I often think about it in terms of kind of understanding what a woman is experiencing internally. And I think that we often see males that exhibit that in a more behavioral or external kind of presentation. Whereas, you know, I often have to really sit down and ask a female about her process of what her experience is and get into the nitty gritty of that internal process to really mm-hmm. understand kind of where some of the social communication differences or where some of the behavioral differences might be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really, I don't know, it's apparently different to me. And so it's always shocking to me that it's not documented in a better way. But I guess we'll get there. What can I say? Barb, can you tell us a little bit about Australian Autism Asperger's Network?
Sure, yeah. The Australian Autism Asperger's Network was a charity I co-founded back in 2011, I believe it was. I was trying to think now, it's been a few years ago. And that was a progression on from the Sunshine Coast Autism Asperger's Network that we started out for information locally to the area that I was living in at the particular time to help with support and give advice for adults. And as we progressed with going into a national organisation, we ideally, what we do is free volunteer support that we do, we give to people. Our main port of call is through social media. As you know, social media is a very big place for everywhere where they can connect and communicate. And we try to provide reliable information to people around Australia. And from this, it's also progressed into also with my Bikers for Autism charity as well. So that's they're all connected in helping people in different ways.
It's pretty amazing that you managed to do all of the things that you do. I mean, all of my questions and all of Kate's questions, I think, will end up being, I think, about all the stuff you do. I know, it's kind of crazy. I really, in looking through it, I was like, I don't know when she sleeps. It's amazing to me. So we'll just move on to into Spectrum Women's Magazine, I guess, because that, to me, that's how we met. So that would be a great place to go.
Yeah, Spectrum Women Magazine, that's my favorite. And that's my absolute closest to my heart when it got started in that. The idea had been rolling around for about 3 years and eventually came to fruition just nearly a year ago. It is, it's a year ago now. We were officially launched. And Spectrum Women was a place for us women to have a voice where we could positively help and embrace with other women and, you know, show what we can offer to other ladies out there. We have a fantastic team of writers and absolutely amazed at just how supportive everything and everyone that's involved in with this project. It's absolutely brilliant. And especially, like I say, Becca, I've got to meet you as well, another credible woman as well.
It's amazing when we all get together, the kind of stuff that goes on. So it's been great to be part of, and it was certainly nice to be finding out from over here in the US that, you know, in Australia, you guys are also seeing what we see and working just as hard to advocate for us, which is great, which I love.
Yes, yeah, and it is. It's a brilliant resource. And now we it's being read in 38 countries around the world, and like we have 20 unique visitors a month. So it goes to show that we're actually doing a really good thing and getting it out there and supporting women, and had lots of different people that have commented and messaged me saying just how beneficial and helpful this magazine is for them.
Mm-hmm. Barb, can you tell us a little bit about Bikers for Autism and kind of how you became interested in biking?
Motorcycling, yeah, biking, I don't know if you say that.
Motorcycling, yes.
Yeah, motorcycling, because I think, oh, that'd be me in Lycra trying to ride a bicycle down the road. Just, no, couldn't envision that one. But yeah, motorcycling, it's something I've loved. It's always been a passion ever since I was 16 years old. And that's when I got my first motorbike. Before that, I had a moped, but I won't talk about that one because it wasn't cool enough back then. Yeah. And it was like, oh, I just like, as soon as I got a motorcycle, it was a place where I could actually think. Once I got on that bike, put my helmet on, put my jacket on, I felt safe, I felt secure, and I could actually start to think. And I actually felt like I wasn't awkward or, you know, because normally if I'm off the bike, I guarantee I'll trip over or walk into a wall or walk into a chair, the most clumsiest person on the planet. But once I'm on a bike, I actually feel like I have some sort of control of who I am myself. And with that passion of motorcycling and the great community that I'm involved in with bikers as well, we thought, because we're all so much into helping other people. That's a big thing about bikers. I know is we always like to support. We always love to do charity work, and we always like to find a reason where we can go out and have a bit of a ride and also help people as well. So that's where Bikers for Autism came from, combining the passion for my motorcycling with helping other people and fundraising for individuals and families in the community.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I was going to say, how do you do it? Because I am so not coordinated. That would scare me. Like, I have never been skiing. I won't get on a snowboard. There are things that I know realistically would be unwise to my personal health. So I feel like, I'm like, wow, she can do all this coordination thing. What else can I do? But now I'm glad to know that it's just then that you're coordinated in that moment.
Yeah. That's right. Just don't stop, because that's where it all goes downhill. As soon as you put that side stand down, you're gone. That's it. It's finally lying in the grass.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's exactly what would happen to me probably. Oh, well, that's amazing. Well, I have to thank you for taking the time to do this interview. It's been amazing. And I hope that you'll come back with future stuff that you have going on. I think we're going to go ahead and move on to our next segment. We're going to be trying out something new. We're going to be seeing if we can learn a little bit more about each other and the community by learning about each other's heroes. And you're welcome to stay and join the conversation if you'd like, if you don't have to be anywhere. While the rest of Australia is sleeping. So
that's right. Well, I'd just have my bed calling if I wanted to go back there, but I'm too late now. After two coffees, it's like, that's it, no.
So we're going to go ahead and we'll call it the hero segment for right now, you guys, because I don't know, we just haven't thought of a clever name for it yet. So I think we'll start out with our very first autism heroes and kind of let you know where we came from and maybe start thinking about who are some of the people that are heroes to you and why. So I guess I'll start, Kate. My very first autism hero is now a very good friend and colleague, which is still amazing to me that that happened. And her name is Leanne Holiday Wiley. She is an amazing advocate. And she wrote this fantastic book called Pretending to Be Normal, which I've now talked about, I think, three times this month in stuff that I've done. It was the first book that I ever read when I was getting diagnosed. It was the first vocabulary lesson that I got in autism, and it really just changed the whole world for me because I realized that I wasn't alone in it. And she had figured out a way to kind of really express what was going on for her and what it was like to really experience what was going on. And so then I had words for myself about it. That was the case. And she was an author of a book in some universe. And I went to my very first conference. And one of the reasons that I decided to go is because she was doing the keynote. And I couldn't believe that I was going to be able to hear her speak in person. So I had gone to that and I worked up the courage that I was going to finally go over and I was just going to say thank you for writing this book. And it was so amazing. But then as I started to walk over, I started to sweat like a crazy person because I was really, really nervous to meet her. So I kind of went over and I was so covered in sweat, my whole shirt, I swear. And I said to her, you know, I introduced myself and I did say, and she kind of just looked at me and she said, well, you know, I was your age when I wrote this book. So it's your turn. It's your turn to write a book. And that was really the beginning of my advocacy journey. She really just gave me that last push that I needed, that my story had value and what I had learned and experienced had value. And it was pretty amazing to meet her. And now I get a chance to kind of work with her, which is a place I never thought that I'd be. So she's my very first autism hero.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Leanne a couple of times. And, I agree that she is an amazing influencer in the community. And it's really, it's a unique experience, I think, when you actually get to kind of meet face to face with that, mm-hmm. with that hero and that kind of role model that you've really taken after over the years.
Yeah. And you're also like, don't be disappointed if she's not who you think she, you know, like when you do that, think to yourself, like, please, you know, it was still an important thing that happened to you. And like that whole deal. But I was given more than I even thought that I would. So I guess that's why she was my hero in the first place.
There you go.
It was really super neat. What about you?
My, I would say my first kind of hero in the community, it would be Tony Atwood. And I read his, you know, one of his original kind of guide on Asperger's when I was in grad school and I was in training and I had been in training at the Children's National Medical Center at their Center for Autism Spectrum Disorders. And it was one of the first texts I ever read about kind of understanding Asperger's and understanding individuals on the spectrum. And everything he wrote was just so digestible and it was easy to understand. And the more I worked in the community, the more I was able to really see, oh, that's what this means, by seeing examples that really kind of brought his words off the page for me. And I think for me, it also really shaped kind of the direction that I went in professionally, because in the beginning, I did, you know, try working with a range of people within the autism spectrum population. And I really kind of found my niche, found my passion in working, with individuals, particularly adolescents and adults who kind of fall more under that Asperger's, umbrella, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I actually had the pleasure of meeting him last fall, and that was one of those moments, similar to kind of how you described your moment with Leanne, of, oh my God, is this really happening right now? I've been reading about him for 10 plus years or reading or following. And then I met him, and not only did I meet him, but we had a really delightful conversation. And, I really felt like I had internalized so much of what I had learned from him all the way across the ocean. So it was a really, for me, a really kind of powerful experience to go through that. Yeah,
it's amazing. Barb, what about you?
Well, I think you've said both of mine straight up. And it's like Leanne, I'm going, yeah, definitely. She was the first book, very, very first book I read on women. And it was like when I read her book, I was just like, that is me. That is exactly me. And that was before I got my diagnosis. That's when I got misdiagnosed. And that's like, but I'm not that, I'm Leanne.
Exactly.
And I was absolutely in awe of that lady, and she's an amazing woman. And like you say, we've all become quite good friends. And Tony Atwood is another one. He's also like my very, very big hero. I always put him up there. He's like, he's this big shining star to me. And I've got to know him quite well as well. And he's a fantastic man. The knowledge that man has is incredible. And I'm very, very grateful that I've gotten to know him. And I can actually have a little bit of claim to fame that he actually made me a cup of coffee once as well. So I can. I've been there.
That's pretty amazing. Like I've said.
And but another one that's also really stands out for me is Jeanette Purkis. I absolutely admire her work and her dedication, everything she's done. She's her book, her original book, I read as well, her autobiography. And that was another one I could relate to as well in a very big way. Even though our lives were quite different, we had so many similarities, and I could understand all the struggles that she went through. And from that, I've gotten to know Jeanette. I've known her since 2009, and we've grown such really good friendship as well from this. And we've watched the autistic community change so much, and especially with Jeanette's work that she's done since 2013. Now she's come out and she's speaking so much, and she's making some really, really big changes, especially around Australia. Mm-hmm. And what she's doing for women is in advocacy is absolutely brilliant. And recently she got invited to speak to psychologists and psychiatrists about autism and women and mental health. And I just thought that is absolutely brilliant that the professionals are listening to Jeanette about, you know, what we need and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I am absolutely in awe of Jeanette as well.
Yeah, it really is so fascinating to me how similar our experiences are as women on the spectrum, regardless of what year it was that we were born or what country we were born in. When you read our stories and you read our memoirs, the information that is similar is so striking. You can't, it was impossible for me to read Leanne's book and not say, this woman is creeping me out. She like read my biography. She was with me my whole life. I have no idea how she did this. It was genuinely that kind of experience.
It was the same.
And when I read what Jeanette's doing and when she's talking about, you know, all of her advocacy stuff, it's amazing to me. And another person that we're all working so hard to be there as advocates. And yeah, I hope that Jeanette will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning for me too. That's what I hope.
I'm sure she will. I'll have a bit of a chat. Jeanette, you've got to do this. These ladies are really cool to talk to.
Yeah. It's a really fun time. We're like this. We're definitely becoming, technology has allowed us to become us much closer. So hopefully we'll get as close as the clinicians get, which will be nice. We're doing this asset council with Anita Lesko and Steven, and it's such a huge bunch of us advocates all working together. And I said that we have one clinician who's working with us, and I said, well, now you get to see what it's like when a whole bunch of people who have zero skill sets at socializing try to work together as a team. So good luck. Like, it's because we're all like, our brains are going a million miles a minute, and we're all trying to talk at the same time. It's crazy. But somehow we're learning about each other and getting to know each other. And so we're developing our friendship as we get our work done, I think. It's wonderful.
Well, and you'll also all learn how to build on your strengths and kind of how everyone's different strengths will complement each other's. And so therefore, who in the team is good at what tasks and you know, going from there.
Yeah, it should be a good time. So.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you're saying, seeing what we're good at and what tasks and that, it's already happening. Can see that we're sort of like, as we get passionate about stuff going, it brings up in your mind going, oh, I definitely want to go and help out in this area and I want to help in that area. And you go, oh, yes, I know something in that area too. So, but it really does. It inspires and it brings out this burning passion to go, we've got to make a difference out there. We've got to change so many things.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's so empowering too, after feeling for so many years that you didn't have a voice and you didn't have a place in the world and you didn't have something to do. And now I sit there with another group of people. There are others that like the things that I like, and it's so great, that are as passionate and want to work on it as much. So we're a group of people on the spectrum who are all have a special interest in the same thing, in this, you know, like, whole oven of making kitchen things in there and just making it all come out right, you know, getting the recipe correct. So it's kind of amazing to me.
Well, I also think that one of the things that is, it's, you know, I think if there is such a thing, like, it's a good time to be in this community as a person on the spectrum, because I think, you know, because of all of the work that, you know, people like yourselves do, you've really paved the way to make sure that your voices are heard and that people in the field who are the professionals who that you're working and collaborating with other professionals, and that it's not just the researchers deciding what to research, and that it's not just clinicians deciding how to approach understanding what it is to be on the spectrum. And I think that, you know, that's a huge kind of really can be attributed to the kind of advocacy work that both of you are doing, as well as so many other members of the team that you're on. And it's really important and needed work to make sure that there's more and more professionals out there who are really hearing your voices and understanding.
Right. And it's the basis for our friendship too. And the reason that we work together so well is we were always willing to hear the other person's side of it, or going to the other person, I don't understand this. Can you explain how this would feel for you? Mm-hmm. You know? And so that is the conversation that's underneath all of it that we really want to be happening, regardless mm-hmm. of the topic. And so I think, you know, even us being able to work together to do the podcast is a really important thing too, be able to show that neurodiverse relationships can be successful and productive. And that's a really important thing for us. And I think that's sort of an awesome note to leave everybody on. So I'm gonna, I think that about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining us at Spectrumly Speaking. Barb, can you please tell everybody where they can reach you and all of your many places so that they can be involved?
Okay, there's a lot of different places. My magazine, spectrumwomen.com, is where you can read about all the stuff we do there. And my email through that, if you want to send me a story or have some ideas or thoughts, is editor@spectrumwomen.com. Bikersforautism.org is where you can read about our charity work and what we do with our motorcycle riding. And the Australian Autism Asperger's Network is quite simply AAANetwork.com.au. That's where you can find us there. Or if not, Facebook, social media, just type in any of them. You should be able to track us down.
Thank you so much for giving your time today. We very much appreciate it.
And thank you guys. Really enjoyed this morning. Afternoon for you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barb.
So be sure, everybody, to go ahead and check out differentbrains.com, as well as their Twitter at diffbrains. And then you can find me on Facebook. You can also find me at www.beccalaurie.com. Also on Twitter and LinkedIn.
And I can be found at spectrumservicesnyc.com or katherinecodysidey@gmail.com. Please make sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes and send your questions to spectrumlyspeaking@gmail.com, and we will answer them on the show. Let's keep the conversation going.
Spectrumly Speaking is a production of Different Brains. For more information, visit us at differentbrains.com.